The Bible. The Bible. The Bible. It's the Word of God, living and active.
Sharper than any two-edged sword.
It contains all we need for life and godliness, and it reveals to us the mysteries of God. Join us for the next hour as we study the Bible and take your Bible questions. This is Exploring the Word on AFR Talk.
The story is told that as the Titanic ship was sinking, people had at first tried to grab their jewels and their valuables, but as it became more and more clear that the ship was going to sink and many people weren't going to be rescued, people began to drop the jewelry and the gold and the diamonds, and they grabbed oranges and apples and food, and they began to hang on to the things that could hopefully preserve their life. And that reminds me of James chapter 5, when it talks about in James 5 how gold and silver can't save you. They can become corroded. And it talks about wealth, though it can be a gift from God, is a futile thing for our eternal security. Now, with that, we welcome you to Exploring the Word. My name is Alex McFarland, and we are in James 5, and I'm very honored to be on the air today with Wesley Wildman, and we continue our trek through the book of James together. Wesley, how are you, my friend?
I'm doing great. I've been on the program, It's been a long day for me, okay? It's like a Monday, but it's really Wednesday. And just excited to be on the program today, excited to fill in for Brother Bert. Continue to pray for him. He's at his family revival. And we miss him when he's gone, but we're always excited to hear the stories when he gets back. Yeah, so here on Exploring the Word today, we're going to take a detour, a break, or maybe a tour today in the first segment, whereas we typically are going to start in James chapter 5. During this first segment, we're going to have a special guest in the studio with us to talk a little bit about actions and moving forward and the progress of the EngageMagazine.net and what they're looking forward to do in the future. And Alex, you're going to be a part of that. I'm going to be a part of that. Are you excited to hear a little bit about that today?
Oh, I really am. And folks, listen, if you've not been to the website of EngageMagazine.net, really, I don't know any ministry that's as innovative and fruitful at taking the gospel to 20-somethings and younger. I'm going to let them tell their story, but Wesley, I'm pumped because Engage is being used by God to touch countless lives, and there's going to be an amazing event next spring. And I want everyone listening, please listen very carefully, because I'm going to be there. One of the greatest communicators in the country, Sean McDowell, is going to be there. And so, brother, anytime people are reaching the world with the gospel, count me in, and Engage is surely doing that.
Yes, yeah, so we're grateful you're a part of that. Another person who's a huge asset in being a part of what we're about to discuss is Jordan Shamley. He's a project director for EngageMagazine.net, helps organize events, and also all the little things that go on behind the scene, he's a huge part of. And I just want to welcome Jordan. Welcome to Exploring the Word.
Well, thanks for having me.
You know, Jordan is came on staff full time. How long ago?
Oh, it was towards the beginning of this year, wasn't it?
Yeah, about
it was
six.
Just a few months ago.
Yeah, just a handful of months ago, and we're just really excited. He's the first full time Engage staff member. Much of Engage is made up of those 18 or 20 employees here that fall in that category as millennials at AFA, and we provide, you know, portion of our job toward it. Most of us work on it outside of work, and we're grateful that Jordan comes along and provides that full-time vision for AFA and that full-time work effort. What is the most recent project that we're working on?
Well, the big project that we're working on is the Engage Conference, Worldview Conference, that's coming up next year,
I believe. Yeah. That's right, in the spring 2017.
Right, yeah, and that's the theme. You may have spoken about this before, but it's the Heart of Marriage Conference, about the biblical, not just the biblical form that marriage takes and should take in our culture, but what does it mean, and what is the significance behind that? You know, why did God make it the way he made it?
Mm-hmm.
And that's the big project on the horizon for us.
And the dates to that is March 17th and 18th of spring 2017. So that's March 17th and 18th of spring 17. Now, speaking about this conference here, I'm looking at the website. You can find out all you need to know if you go to EngageMagazine.net, and there's a tab there called Conference 2017. Click on it. You can find out. The first thing I see when I click on it is created to reflect Genesis 1:27. Right. How did we come up with that?
Well, being made in the image of God is reflected in all aspects of human life, including marriage. Mm-hmm. And so it's just a exploration of how that reflects the character of God.
Yeah. And Alex, I want to ask you, as soon as you scroll down on the website, it's got the schedule. You'll see it. We start on Friday and we go all the way through Saturday. Friday night, we're going to have a great concert, just an exciting, enthused concert with Flame, Cam, and many more of the hip-hop Christian artists of today's culture. But also right below that is speakers. And one of the speakers for the main session is you, Alex McFarland.
Honored.
Go ahead.
Yeah, I'm not a millennial. I'm a little bit past 20-something.
But you look like a millennial.
God bless you. You guys let me hang with you, and I love to write in, on the EngageMagazine.net website. TJ, who's one of the editors, maybe he's the editor, I don't know.
He's the head editor.
Yeah, you guys have graciously published some of my writing. And, you know, I just apply what you're doing. And the conference is really, really significant. Listen to this. And Wesley, I haven't even told you this, but earlier today I was on the phone. We've been doing a pretty big research project of talking with churches across America where I've spoken that have ministries to students. Now listen to this, because it illustrates why, everyone listening, you need to help people get to the Engage Conference in March. Wesley, we've been in communication with several hundred churches where I've spoken in the last, you know, 2-3 years. And, you know, they've got ministries to high schoolers, college students, 20-somethings. And they ask, you know, 18 to 24-year-olds, what is the one thing that would help you in your walk with Christ, in your Christian growth? A little over 70%, about 70, 72% said, I need to know what I believe, why I believe it, how to defend my beliefs. Some said apologetics, which is the word for defending the faith. But of the group that Engage reaches, the millennials, our research is showing that 70% are saying the church can help me if they'll enable me to get a good grasp on how to defend my beliefs.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what we're doing, and that's what the conference is going to be about. And I'm so excited to be there. Sean McDowell, who's the son of Josh McDowell. Sean and I have worked together for over a decade, and we've done conferences for the Billy Graham Ministry. Sean and I have done conferences for Focus on the Family. Seriously, Sean McDowell, in my opinion, is one of the most effective communicators in the country. And, you know, I'm just pumped, guys, because God's going to use this thing.
Mm. And I'm about to ask Jordan here about the mission, which is to inspire the next generation to engage culture through Christ-likeness and a biblical review. I want to ask you that, but before I do, I just want to point out that this is way more than a conference.
Oh, yeah.
We've all been to conferences, and there's a lot of really good ones out there, very informative, really good information, a lot to take away from there. Maybe sometimes information overload, but there's a lot of good ones out there. This is a lot more than a conference. We're gonna break down into small groups and a breakout sessions. We're going to have tangible, very practical tips on how to apply that which we are going to be taught through Alex and Sean McDowell in a breakout session, which will include authors from Engage. But also, we're going to have, at the end, we're going to have a very engaging discussion. We're going to spend at least an hour in a roundtable discussion, a panel discussion, what they call it, with Alex, Sean, and all the Engage, those that help out with the breakout session, where you can tweet, text, you can write in your question. We'll have a mic there where you'll be able to raise your hand and ask questions. And so it'll be very engaging, very more than a lecture, to say the least. And then, of course, the concert will be electric. But, Alex, but Jordan, I do want to ask you, the mission statement, what we're surrounding the content and the purpose and what drives us when it comes to this this conference created to reflect is our mission statement, to inspire the next generation to engage culture with Christ-likeness and a biblical word. Can you explain that a little bit?
Well, just going back to what Alex said, we hear what the millennial, but not just millennial, just the younger generation of believers, what they need and what they're lacking. And what Engage seeks to do is really lay that foundation of biblical worldview with scripture and application, you know, and not just, I think what makes us unique is that we're not just telling them what to believe and, you know, where to find it in the Bible, but we're coming alongside them. We're not teaching them because we're students ourselves.
Right.
So we're sitting beside them. We're going through this with them. It's a journey and it's a conversation less than lessons and, you know. So, yeah, that's really our heart and our passion is to lay this foundation for ourselves as well as our audience.
And some of our audience right now is listening going, that is something I want my youth mm-hmm. group. That's something I want my children. That's something I want my high school students involved in. How can they get involved in this? How can they know more about it? Where can they sign up? Where can they register?
Well, step one is go to engagemagazine.net and read all about it there.
Yeah, you can go there. You click on the tab conference, and you can register right there. Mm-hmm. Now, there's an early bird special. Explain that for us.
You explained that
because the early bird special is you get is $25 for the whole mm-hmm. weekend pass. They get the concert, Flame, Alex, Sean McDowell, the whole weekend mm-hmm. pass for $25. Alex, is that a deal or what?
Oh, that's an amazing deal. An amazing deal. I'm on the website right now and I'm just looking at the music. It's just so cool. And folks, listen, I know we have a lot of ages listening to the Exploring mm-hmm. the Word show. I don't know if you know all these names like Cam and Casey Kidd and Flame, but you know, teaching at North Greenville University, I'm around college kids all the time. Trust me, Flame, everybody's mm-hmm. talking about Flame. And so if you are a millennial and you're coming, that's great. Maybe you're an adult, a parent or a youth leader, or you're an adult leader at your church. Believe me, folks. The 18 to 24 window, that age mm-hmm. demographic, is a time when young people make decisions that really, in many ways, do influence the trajectory of their life. Mm-hmm. And I say it this way, invest a weekend that will count for eternity. Mm-hmm. And you know, having done conferences all over America, you know, we love events, and Bert and I had a huge event in Fayetteville just this past weekend. But there is a ripple effect. And I can't emphasize strongly enough how important this can be in the life of one person and then their peers. It's an amazing deal. Wesley, did you say $25?
$25 for the whole weekend, and that's the early bird special. And if you say to yourself, look, I can't make it down Friday night for the concert. I just want to go to the conference. That's just $20. $20 for the conference, and we're really excited about it. Mm-hmm. And I just want to remind our audience, this is sponsored by, there will be more sponsors to come, but currently AFA, AFR, American Family Studios, BSAC, Biblically Sound Christian Artist Coalition, Alex McFarland's ministry, and Sean McDowell's ministry. Mm. This will be the most biblically sound conference and engaging conference for a millennial that you could possibly find. Incredible content. It's going to be a great weekend. This is the first of many to come.
Mm-hmm. Amen. Amen. This is great. It really is. And Wesley, you and TJ and all of you, I just want to applaud what you're doing to put this together. And it's vital. You know, I told you the stat that we just got this afternoon about, you know, 71-72% of millennials are saying we need the church to help us defend our faith. Mm-hmm. And then, of the defense of the faith, one of the key issues is exactly what this conference is talking about, created to reflect. Mm-hmm. So, wow, it's exciting. Folks, don't miss out.
And I just want to thank Jordan, the project director for Engage, for stepping in and helping us understand what the next project is.
Right. Well, glad to be to do that.
Well, thank you so much. You can go to engagemagazine.net. You can find out more. Click the tab conference. We'll be right back after this break to continue our discussion in James chapter 5.
This is a Decency Minute. I'm Bill Johnson. The NCAA is taking their ball and going home. When North Carolina passed a common sense law requiring that the use of bathrooms in government buildings correspond with one's biological sex, corporations, entertainers, and sports leagues sought to punish North Carolina for daring to oppose the LGBT agenda. And now the NCAA is piling on, stating they will pull 7 college sports championship tournaments out of the state. However, if the NCAA thinks men and women women should share the same locker rooms and bathrooms? Why are men's and women's sports teams separate? If teams are separated by sex, why not bathrooms? Pray for the courageous leaders of North Carolina who have not bowed to these cultural bullies, and also tell the NCAA to stop pushing their radical agenda. Call the NCAA at 317-917-6222. That's 317-917-6222. This is a Decency Minute. I'm Bill Johnson.
I can't begin to tell you how much AFR Talk has blessed my life. And it's so good to have a voice out there that is giving the Christian worldview.
Hey, y'all, this is Trucker Dave from Hammond, New York. And AFR has been a big blessing to me and many other truck drivers out here on the highways and byways of America as we roam far from home and enjoy uplifting stories, uplifting the ministry, and all the programming that the AFR has to offer. So I'm happy to be a proud supporter of AFR, and I hope that all my trucking brothers and trucking sisters who know the Lord will also reach out and dig deep to support American Family Radio right now. Thank you.
Your financial gift keeps your family equipped for the culture war. Join us for our three-day share-a-thon beginning October 18th. Listener-supported American Family Radio.
Since I've led tours for many years to the Holy Land, Israel, many people ask me, what's your favorite place to go? I have two, really. The Garden Tomb and Calvary and the Sea of Galilee. Now, I like all the places we stopped along the way in Israel, but those two places in particular are very special and meaningful. Hello, everyone. I'm Tim Wildman, president of the American Family Association and American Family Radio. We'll be going to all the places you've read about in the Bible since you were a child. It's going to be a very special tour of Israel, the Holy Land, March 9 through 17, 2017. We're taking a direct flight from New York to Tel Aviv. For all the information on this tour, just call us at 800-FAMILIES, option 5, and leave us your name and your address, and we'll send you a brochure. 800-FAMILIES, option 5. Or visit the website twholyland.com.
Hey, it's Crane. Coming up on Nothing But Truth, find out what we can learn from the Charlotte riots. Also, a big announcement from Engage Magazine and Professor of Homeland Security Ryan Morrow with the latest news on the terrorist attacks. Plus, Pete Sepp, President of the National Taxpayer Union, addresses yesterday's Wells Fargo hearing and the President's economic statements to the UN. So join us this afternoon at 5 Central for Nothing But Truth on AFR Talk.
Welcome back to Exploring the Word on AFR Talk. Studying the Bible and taking your questions.
Speak to me. I've opened up your word to free me. I want to hear you now.
Alex McFarland here with Wesley Wildman on American Family Radio Talk Network. We're in James chapter 5, and so I want to encourage you to turn there and follow along with us. Hey, Wesley, though, I got to give a really big shout out to the dear, dear folks in Richmond, Virginia. Oh, my goodness, last night I was at the Christian Counseling Training Center banquet. 35 years they've been doing Christian counseling, and I mean, they showered me with love. Yeah, I was so humbled, and I know many of you dear Richmond, Virginia listeners are listening right now. Apparently, the AFR station in Richmond is just huge, because these people, they came and they were telling all these stories about how they listened to the show and how Exploring the Word has touched their life. And, you know, Wesley, I had to chuckle because two or three people came up. I drove up there to speak, and they said, "Oh, it's good to see you, Alex." And they said, "Where's Bert?" And I said, "Well, Bert is with Jan, and they're on the road." And I said, "You know, Bert doesn't just ride around in the car with me everywhere."
Right, right.
But Richmond, I just want to say thank you for your support for AFA and the radio. Thank you for your stand for Jesus. And thank you for what an amazing night we had last night as we I was able to preach, and we had a good meal together, and several hundred folks there in Richmond, and we love you, and thank you for listening to Exploring the Word.
You know, that doesn't surprise me one bit. I've done several AFA events in Richmond, and what you just described was my very same experience. We've got some incredible listeners. Actually, we've got a lot of listeners, but across the board, AFR in general, and every area that I've been into, we've had the experience and the kindness has been the same. Thank you so much for listening to AFR. Thank you so much for your kindness. Thank you so much for standing beside us when other people or other parts of the church does not. And so we thank you for that. Well, talking about standing together and standing up strong and making a difference, reading the Word of God really helps. And today we're in James chapter 5. Alex, how do you want to start this? You want to read the first verse?
Yeah. I've got it's called a parallel Bible. It's very interesting. We love to recommend good books. And, my mother bought this parallel Bible, and it's got King James, New International, and several translations all on the same page. But, regardless of the translation, it's basically warning against riches and, rich people oppressing poor people. Now, there's nothing wrong with wealth. Wealth is a blessing from God. But it says this, "Now listen, you rich people, weep and wail because of the misery that is coming upon you. Your wealth has rotted. Moths have eaten your clothes. Gold and silver are corroded. Their corrosion will testify against you. You've hoarded wealth in the last days," says verse 3. "Look, the wages you failed to pay the workmen who mowed your fields are crying out against you. The cries of the harvesters have reached the ears of the Lord Almighty." Wesley, I don't want to get off on a rabbit trail, but there's been a lot of talk about money in recent years. I just thought about this. In 1776, the very same year that we got our independence from Great Britain, a man named Adam Smith wrote a book called The Wealth of Nations. And it basically was affirming what I think is a biblical foundation of money, that people should be able to work hard, experience being industrious and creating things, and really that if you allow people to earn their wages, it's good. It builds character, and it not only grows character, but grows wealth. And so nowadays, there are people that are saying, we need to let the government, feed the poor.
Right.
And, what James 5 is saying is, look, people should deal with each other honestly. The wealthy people that have exploited their workers, God knows about that.
Mm-hmm.
And they might have hoarded up wealth for themselves, but God says He knows about that. And so, our country, by God's grace, was founded on biblical principles, and that even touched economics, though I think we've deviated from it a bit in recent years. But James 5 speaks to me, Wesley, and I know we've got to go in a timely way. 7 through 12 talks about suffering and being patient in suffering. And, it mentions two things, the last days in verse 3, that there's going to be judgment in the last days. But then it says in verse 7, "Be patient then, brothers, until the Lord's coming." So let me just say this, and we're going to read some more scripture. But Wesley, whether you're an employer trying to deal justly with your employees, or whether you're an individual and you've got a cross to bear, or whether you're just a Christian trying to live your life, I see in James 5, one of the great incentives for living right, serving the Lord, and staying on the straight path, one of the incentives is the knowledge of the Lord's return one day.
Yeah, absolutely. And, we've talked about this in the book of James. It provides several word pictures, a lot of word illustrations that really help us out. And one of the pictures it does right here in verse 7, it describes being patient in the same way that a farmer waters the field, plants the seed, but then has to be patient for the growth. In the same way, we should be patient with each other.
Exactly. patient with each other. It says, be patient then, brothers, until the Lord's coming. See how the farmer waits for the land to yield its valuable crop, and how patient he is for the autumn and spring rains. You, too, be patient and stand firm, because the Lord's coming is near. Don't grumble against each other, brothers, or you will be judged. The judge is standing at the door. Now, James has had a lot to say about language and what we say. You know what? Psalm 19, now think about this, folks. Psalm 19 says, the heavens and earth bear witness to the glory of God. In other words, this created world points to the great creator who made it. There's an analogy here of a farmer who plants a seed. Now, that seed is buried in the ground, and for months you can't see it. Wesley, growing up on a farm, we grew a lot of corn, and it generally takes about 120 days wow. to grow corn. And, you know, for a long time, it just looks like a bunch of dirt out there. And, you know, you might have planted all kind of seed, but you don't see a thing for a long time. And the Christian life is a lot like that. Now, folks, think about it. When you're praying to Jesus and you're trusting in the Lord and you're showing Christ to those around you who may not appreciate it, you know, I believe we can be absolutely certain that God is faithful. Just like the seed in the ground is invisible for a long, long time, till eventually a crop comes. Your investment for Christ, your bearing your cross, and, you know, you're turning away from sin and you're pursuing Jesus. Some days you might ask yourself, does it really matter? Does it really count for anything? It does. James 5 is telling us, be patient. God is faithful. And my dear friend, anything you've done for Christ, he, believe me, the Lord knows. And the Lord is going to give you a wonderful harvest of his peace, his protection, his provision, his joy. But one day, the greatest of all, the rewards in heaven. Wesley, God is going to give a great harvest of blessing to those that have sown the seeds of obedience to him, won't he?
Yes, and even in Galatians, it talks about how if we do not give up, we will reap what we sow if we do not give up. And that's exactly what it shares here. In verse 10, it says, as an example of suffering and patience, brothers, take the prophets who spoke in the name of the Lord. Behold, we consider those blessed who remain steadfast. You have heard of the steadfastness of Job, and you have seen the purpose of the Lord, how the Lord is compassionate and merciful. You know, one of the things that I learned just in the last couple of years, or I was reminded of or never really thought about until then, is just the steadfastness and the faithfulness of the prophets. You know, much of what they prophesied, they did not visually get to see come to pass, yet they remained faithful in the mission and the purpose in which God called them to be. And that's so encouraging for me because in many cases, like you said, so we don't get to see, the 120 days that you mentioned of the corn is just one illustration, but sometimes we don't get to see the final result of that 120 days of that corn being produced. Sometimes it's somewhere in the middle, and that's very similar to the prophets. And I just love the book of James when it uses Old Testament illustrations and things that we can kind of, or things that we can visually see, like the steadfastness and the faithfulness of Job and the prophets in which they prophesied and did not get to see come to pass.
Wesley, you're so right. Folks, think about this. In Hebrews chapter 11, it talks about, you know, by faith Abraham obeyed God, and by faith Noah, being warned, built that ark. And, you know, there's this, you know, sometimes it's called the Faith Hall of Fame. And it says in Hebrews 11:13, these, you know, all these great long list of faithful people, it says, these, not having received the promise, were strong in faith. Now, in James 5, it says, think about the prophets who spoke in the name of the Lord, and many were, you know, persecuted. Now, think about how faithful they were. They didn't have the whole Bible to read like we do. These Old Testament saints that were valiant for God, they didn't know about the empty tomb and the risen Lord Jesus. And Wesley, I guess I think about this, you know, when I read James 5. We've got every reason.
I know.
Oh, my goodness. We have every incentive to stand strong and stand out bold for Jesus. Because, look, folks, we've got the Bible. We know Christ is coming back. We know about that new heaven and new earth that we're going to inherit one day. We know about the Holy Spirit that indwells us. We know Hebrews 13, that He'll never leave or forsake us. I mean, the prophets and the saints of old did not have a fraction of the revelation you and I have got, and yet they laid down their lives for their Savior. How much more so can we do it? Because, you know, I mean, we've been shown the whole story.
Yeah, and like I said, the steadfastness is a great word, but their faithfulness. You know, salvation comes through faith in Christ, and their faithfulness to the cause and their faithfulness to Christ is just incredible. There's much we can learn from there. Verse 12, but above all, my brothers, do not swear either by heaven or by earth or by any other oath, but let your yes be yes and your no be no, so that you may not fall under condemnation. Now, did Jesus say something similar to that?
He really did. He said, let your yes be yes and your no be no. Now, I realize in verse 12, it's talking about you're giving your word about something, yes or no. But let's unpack that word swear a little bit, because, you know, James has said so much about language. And Wesley, I'll tell you, I travel a lot, and even among believers, I hear curse words, and I hear some language that just is not appropriate for a Christian. And look, I'm not a legalist, but I honestly think that we need to let the Holy Spirit control what we say and how we say. And it says, above all, my brothers, do not swear. And I know it's talking about your commitment. Let your yes be yes and your no be no. You know, when you're a person of character, and, you know, the old saying, your word is your bond, you don't have to, you know, get all grandiose and lengthy. Just, you know, live in such a way, because you represent Jesus, that if you give your word, people could take it to the bank. That's the kind of commitment that we need to exhibit as believers.
You know, growing up, my granddad on my mom's side always taught me that your word is your bond. I know you've heard that before. I know other people have used that, but your word is your bond. And as I grew, and as I was on the opposite end, where people had didn't hold their commitment, or I was a recipient of someone. I don't want to call them necessarily a liar, although that may be the case. But when you're the recipient of that, those words really grow and really take root in your life, and it makes me want to live. I'm a man of my word. If I say I'm going to do something, I do it. And that's exactly what Jesus himself reiterates in Matthew chapter 5. Much of the epistles quote a large percentage of them are just quotes from Jesus himself. And James right here quotes Matthew chapter 5, verses 37, and it says, "Let what you say be simple, yes and no. Anything more than this comes from the evil one."
You know, let's camp out on this for just a second, folks. And for those just tuning in, you're listening to Exploring the Word with myself, Alex McFarland, and Wesley Wildman. We are going to get to your phone calls and Bible questions in just a couple of minutes. I'm going to give that number. If you've got a pen, you can write it down or something, but it's 888-589-8840. Wesley, I've always been intrigued. You know, we're talking about your word is your bond, and it should be, above all, because we're Christians. And folks, you know, we got to remember that we represent Jesus. We really do. If people know you're a Christian, you know, we need to be Christ-like. I'll say this, Wesley. You know, I travel, and I remember I don't just represent Alex McFarland. I represent AFA because people hear me on the radio. I represent North Greenville University because, you know, it's my privilege to teach apologetics there. And, you know, I'm on the board of one of the Billy Graham, the broadcasting. And so part of the reason that, you know, we try to put forth a good witness is because, you know, we are not our own. I mean, and I don't want to bring dishonor on AFA. I don't want to bring dishonor on North Greenville. I don't want to bring dishonor on any group I work with, but most of all, I don't want to bring dishonor on my Lord Jesus Christ.
Exactly. And this also, in this verse, we can learn that it is okay to say no. A lot of us feel obligated to say yes in every case, and they can't fulfill our promises. It is okay to say no. You're listening to Exploring the Word. We'll be back with your phone call questions. 888-589-8840.
Do you know what God's purpose is for you and your home? Today, I want us to remember that God is a God of order. He has created you and the family as his fundamental building block in society. Scripture reveals to us God's purpose for our own lives and that of our families. In Genesis 1:26, the Bible states, "Then God said, 'Let us make man in our image, after our likeness.'" Did you hear it? God's purpose, according to this passage, is that we reflect his image. I believe this is life's most difficult task. It's easy to say, but hard to live. In genuine seasons of revival, the followers of God endeavor to live counterculturally by reflecting the image of God in our lives, in our marriages, in our homes. So together, let's make it our prayer and goal to reflect his image to all. I'm Ryan Loving with Life Action Ministries for OneCry.com.
The isolation of Israel, the insurgency of ISIS, the resurrection of Russia. Are these current events a sign of a coming rapture and tribulation foretold in the Bible? Based on his new book, people are asking, is this the end? Signs of God's providence in a disturbing new world. Dr. David Jeremiah explores 10 critical issues facing our world and helps us find hopeful answers for an uncertain future. It all starts October 3rd, right here on this good station.
Dan Celia of Financial Issues.
You know, there is so much uncertainty about what to do and how to do it when it comes to this incredible responsibility to be a good steward of what God's entrusted us with. Whether it's a lot or a little, it's irrelevant. But it's a very scary prospect today in this day of volatility.
Financial Issues with Dan Celia every weekday morning from 8 until 10 Central and Saturday from 10 to 11 on AFR Talk.
With a ministry opportunity, here's Steve Tiber of 8 Days of Hope.
$22 billion of damage occurred last year in October in South Carolina due to flooding. They saw rain that they had never seen. It was a 1,000-year flood. And now you and I get a chance to go with 8 Days of Hope this October to help hundreds of families rebuild their homes. 16,000 homes suffered some type of damage. We expect thousands of volunteers to come from around the country to southeastern South Carolina in October. We're looking for roofers and plumbers and electricians, people that know how to paint and hang drywall. There's something for everybody at 8 Days of Hope. For more information, go to 8daysofhope.com.
Help us to be the hands and feet of Jesus. Sign up for at least 3 days between October 8th and 15th. And if you're not able to go, you can still help with a financial donation at 8daysofhope.com. That's 8daysofhope.com.
Now, back to the Bible study with Alex and Bert. You're listening to Exploring the Word on AFR Talk.
Is the phone number. Your Bible questions. Alex McFarland here and Wesley Wildman. Wesley, I got to tell you, I feel very privileged that on Exploring the Word, we got to roll out some info about the Engage conference next March.
Oh, that's so exciting. You'll hear more about that. We just wanted to kind of sprinkle it out there. I know a lot of the youth groups and a lot of the college campuses, they like to plan things way in advance, and we didn't want to wait to the month of or the month before. We wanted to kind of drop that out there, but as it grows, as we get closer to New Year's, you'll hear more and more about the EngageMagazine.net conference called Created to Reflect, and Alex, you'll be a major major role in that. You'll be one of the keynote speakers, and we're excited about that. But part of the conference is taking questions, and that's what we want to do this program, or during this segment of the program. We're first going to go to Belisa from Mississippi. Belisa? Hey, did I pronounce your name correct?
You did.
Good. I went to Mississippi State, so I struggle with spelling. So.
Well, you did an awesome job.
Well, thank you.
Most people don't get it right, but you did great.
Well, praise God. Well, you're from Mississippi here, and we like to honor those from Mississippi who call in. We're the home state of AFR. And what's your question you have for us today?
Well, it's not a question. It's a comment.
Okay.
I've studied this blessing. It was just been about 2 weeks ago, and I come across this scripture, and it's just really, oh my gosh, I have just been feasting on it from 1 John 5, verses 4 and 5. And when I found that, I was like, whoa. And it says, this is the victory that overcometh the world, even our faith, and how Jesus used his faith to overcome the enemy. And all we have to do is use the word of God. We don't fight for victory, but we fight from the position of victory. And that was just like, oh, my gosh, I was just so excited. I'm still excited about it.
Oh, that's a great comment. You know, you're exactly right. So many, Satan, once we're saved, Satan likes to, he's a father of lies, and he likes to use deception. The angel of light is another way that Scripture describes Satan. And he likes to get in our minds and trick us, and he likes to, if at all possible, make it about works and make it about us earning our way or doing things. But the reality is that it's like you said, it's from the standpoint, it's the gospel and the victory of Jesus that compels us to do what we do. And man, mm-hmm. That's just a great reminder for all of us. Isn't that right, Alex?
It is. And sister, thank you for calling. You know, we love the book of 1 John. And 1 John 5, it says, who is he that overcomes the world but he who believes Jesus is the Son of God? Now, when you talk about the victory, verse 4, that overcomes, in the original language, I hate to give a product plug, so I'm not going to do it too much, but let me just say this. The Greek word that is translated victory or conquest or overcoming is the word Nike, N-I-K-E. That's the Greek word. Now, from what I hear, there's a product line that uses that word, but it means conquest. And 1 John 5 goes on in verse 13. It says, these things are written to you who believe in the name of the Son of God, that you may know, K-N-O-W, know. And the word there is the word for certainty, with utter confidence, with certainty, with encouragement, and all of the comfort you could possibly need. The caller is right, Wesley. We are overcomers. And now, in this world, we have stress, we have temptations, we've got all sorts of burdens on us sometimes. But just remember, in Jesus, you are a victor, and you can be certain of it.
Now, praise God. Thank you so much for calling in. Belisa, thank you for calling in. We're going to go to our next phone call. Brian from Alabama, the state right beside Mississippi, for those who are geographically challenged. Go ahead, Brian. What's the question you have for us today?
Thanks for taking my call. I appreciate everything y'all do. And but in Sunday school, we're having a discussion, and we talked last week about people that, you know, we talk about missionaries and going out on missions, and those that are not, if those individuals that are not spoken the truth, that don't hear the truth, what are they going to be held accountable? You know, because.
All right, I think we're losing you, but I think we get the gist of your question. It's a very popular question, especially among the Christian community, because when you get saved, the next step is your concern and your desire for other people to get saved, and that leads you to the question, well, what about the people who haven't heard the gospel? And I believe that's what you were asking. That's the question that you gave the call screener. Alex, I have a little bit to say about that. Look, I'll go first, and then we'll let you jump in because you're more well-rounded in this question than I am. But I always go back to Romans chapter 1. That's where I begin. And we know in Romans chapter 1, verse 20, it says, for his invisible attributes, namely his eternal power and divine nature, have been clearly perceived ever since the creation of the world and the things that have been made. So they are without excuse. And so we understand through that passage, and the before and the after of Romans chapter 1, that God has revealed himself in creation. And so there's general revelation and a special revelation, and everybody has access to general revelation, and so men are without excuse. Alex, I've heard you talk about this a little more, and I know there's a little bit more you'd like to add to that.
Well, God bless you. You know, this has been one of the questions that people have really wrestled with. And I mean, I think about, you know, leaders throughout history. What about those who, as far as we know, have not really heard the gospel? But Wesley's right on the money. I mean, Romans chapter 1, 21 through 23 is very true. It says that they knew God. Romans 1, 21, speaking of the person, you know, in a faraway continent, it says, although they knew God, they did not honor him as God or give thanks, but they became futile in their thinking. Now, Deuteronomy 4 and Jeremiah 29 says, you will search and you will seek and you will find him if you search with all your heart and with all your soul. Now that's an amazing promise. So different ones, like the French scholar Blaise Pascal, said, if we believe the Bible like it's written, the Word of God is clear. You will search and you will seek and you will find, Deuteronomy 4:29, if you search with all your heart. So Pascal said, look, if there are people who don't find God, it's because they didn't want God. Now, I wrote about this in a book called 10 Questions Every Christian Must Answer, published by Lifeway. And we wrote several chapters on the afterlife and what about those who haven't heard. I will say this, though. God is fair, and God is going to judge people on the response they gave to the light they had. But the Bible is very clear. Romans 3:11 says, there's no one who seeks God. See, Wesley, I believe it's not that there isn't knowledge of God. There's knowledge of God. But the Bible says men love darkness rather than light because their deeds were evil. God, you know, we ask, what about those who've never heard? The fact is, it's written on the human heart. And in all my travels, I've come to believe this, because in every continent where I've been, people know about their accountability before God. They really do. What we need to be doing in the church is to put everything we can toward world missions and reaching souls. Because if you read Matthew 28, 18 through 20, you read Mark 16, 15, Christ said, go into all the world, preach the gospel, make disciples. That's what we're called to do, isn't it?
Yeah, absolutely. And just an initial caution when you ask that question is, it's tempting to think that we can control someone's salvation. The salvation of an individual person is between them and the Lord, and you don't want to begin to carry the weight of someone's eternal salvation based upon, you know, as if you can go and can control that on a mission trip or whatever.
Exactly.
So that this is just a caution there. I just want to provide two or three other comments, and then we'll go to our next caller. That is that I've heard you, Alex, say this before, and correct me if I'm not quoting exactly, but one thing I've learned from your books is that God does not ask us to do something in which he makes impossible for us to do. And right. So that's something to really remember. And also, remember, God is a God of love. He's a very creative God. Think about how he spoke through a donkey in the Old Testament. I mean, God reveals himself in different ways. I mean, yes, he uses people all the time, and he's done that through history. But God speaks and reveals himself through creation and in different ways. We serve a God who's love, just, and fair. And in Romans chapter 2, it does talk about where God has written the law on our hearts, and we have a conscious effort now, which can be seared over time, as we see in the culture today. Great question. Let's move along to Annalisa from Arkansas. What's your question you have for us today?
Yes, it's Annalise, and I'm so honored to be on your program.
Well, I'm sorry I'm sorry I mispronounced your name, and we're so glad that you are on the program today.
Well, thank you. And with your kind permission, I'd like to ask two quick ones.
Sure.
The word apologetics kind of upsets me, because it sounds like we're apologizing for Christianity or religion. Where did that word come from, and what does it really mean?
Oh, that's a great question.
Good question.
That's right up your alley.
Yeah, let's talk about that, and then we'll get to your second question. Yeah, I know, it kind of sounds like apologizing, but it doesn't really mean that. In no way are we saying, you know, I'm sorry for being a Christian, please like me anyway. But it's an ancient legal word. It's found in about half a dozen places in the New Testament, most famously 1 Peter 3:15. And it means to speak in defense of. So when we're doing apologetics, we're not, you know, watering down or backpedaling or saying I'm sorry, but it means to rationally defend the faith, to give the evidence while we believe. So when 1 Peter 3:15 says, be ready to give an answer to everyone who asks a reason for the hope you have, that answer or that reason, the word apologia, from which we get apologetic, means a defense. We're defending the faith.
You know, that's a great question. And in fact, I've written a very short, concise, but very thick with information article on this on EngageMagazine.net. And we're going to get that up by the end of the day on the Exploring the Word Facebook page. The name of it is Apologetics, Simple Definition, Simple Application, and it helps those who are beginning or having the question. And I make a joke at the very beginning that renting your car or backing into a car in a Kroger parking lot is not where you use the word apologetics. And so I provide a pretty good illustration there. We'll get that up on the Facebook page. Annalise, what is the other question you have for us today?
Well, that's really cool, and thank you. The other question was, I always thought that the tribulation was for the non-believers that were left behind get a second chance. Is that true?
Yeah, you know, there's debate about this. And the point of orthodoxy that we all agree is Christ is coming back. And one day he will usher in his kingdom of righteousness, and the evil systems of the world that are increasingly godless will be subdued. Now, within that orthodoxy, the return of Christ, there's some different models or different viewpoints about what's going to take place. Here, my reading of the scriptures, I believe that there's going to be the rapture, the catching away. There's going to be 7 years of tribulation on earth. Some people say that those who have heard the gospel and rejected the gospel prior to the rapture will not really have a second chance to believe after the tribulation. Now, there will be people who get saved during the tribulation. There'll be many Jewish people, for example, who get saved, and the 144,000 of the book of Revelation will really be Jewish evangelists. That 12,000 from each of the 12 tribes that will discover Messiah, they'll preach the gospel during the seven-year tribulation. Many will be martyred. But here's the thing, in 2 Thessalonians 2:11 says that God allows a strong delusion so that people do not believe the truth. Many scholars have said, okay, this people are going to be deceived. And people who rejected Christ prior to the rapture will not believe during the tribulation. It's not like they're going to wake up and say, oh my goodness, all my Christian friends have disappeared. The gospel must have been true. I should believe. You know, I don't know. I don't know. But let me just say this, folks. Here's what you can do to make sure that you don't go through the tribulation. Turn to Jesus. Be saved.
Amen.
So there will be people saved during the tribulation, but one thing you can do for yourself and your loved ones, make sure that you don't go through the tribulation by turning to Christ and being saved today if you haven't already.
Amen. Great, great questions by Annalise from Arkansas. Our next caller who wants to ask a question and has listened to Exploring the Word is Casey from Louisiana. Casey, what question do you have for us today?
Hey, bud. Long time listener, second time caller.
All right. Praise God.
Thank you. Thank you.
Appreciate it. Hey, I got a question. It's about apologetics, about, talking to Muslims. I know Alex is real involved in apologetics. I'll make it quick because I know time's short. But in the Quran, it says that Allah gave us the Torah and the New Testament. And you ask any Muslim that, and they'll agree. And you say, yeah, that's Allah's word, correct? And they'll say, yeah, they'll agree with you. And then in, like, Surah 17, I can't remember exactly, it says that no one can corrupt the words of Allah. And so you ask them, so I'm living in perfect truth as a Christian reading the Bible because I'm reading Allah's word and no one can corrupt it, right? And then they start fumbling around and don't know what to say. And then the things that they do say don't even match up with, it doesn't match up with what the Quran says.
Yeah, that's one thing that about the other religions, there's a lot of holes in there, and there are a lot of things that they can't really explain. Isn't that right, Alex?
Yeah, you know, the Quran mentions the Torah and the Gospel, but a lot of the Hadith and the Islamic writers that have come afterward have said the Gospel is not trustworthy, it's got errors in it. And we'll have to pick up more about this, but the one book that is the Word of God is the Bible. So we want you to read that and believe what it says.
Yeah, thank you so much. Sorry, Kathy, we were not able to get to your phone call. Thank you so much for listening to Exploring the Word. We'll pick up on our study of James tomorrow.
The views and opinions expressed in this broadcast do not necessarily reflect those of the American Family Association or American Family Radio.